Welcome to the Cosmic Reality Radio Show with Nancy Hopkins and Walt Silva, produced by Cosmic Reality Radio. Choose your heart as a lifestyle. And welcome to the Cosmic Reality Radio Show. It is March 19th, 2019. My name is Nancy Hopkins. This is Cosmic Reality Production, and with me is Dolly Howard and Walter Silver. Walt, how you doing? What did I say? Silver. I got silver on my head. I was talking to Derek earlier, and he's talking about dipping shungite nuggets in silver and electroplating them, and I'm like, silver. Walt Silver. So how are you guys doing tonight? What's happening?
I don't know. What's happening with you?
You sounded really tired this morning.
I was really tired this morning.
Well, I picked that up.
Yeah. Well, actually, I wasn't. Something I ate didn't settle right with me or whatever. So I had, not gotten enough sleep. But then I got up kind of close to time, and Derek wasn't. He was giving me, two different signals. Yes, he wanted to come on the radio, and no, he didn't.
Oh. Like,
whatever, I'm going to have a show. If you want to be there, be there. I can't keep doing these replays. And plus, it was important to me because I wanted to address some of those questions that we'd been getting in the Shungite Reality Facebook group. Uh-huh. And it was easier to go there and at least put it on, video. And apparently I had a message. I really got kind of tense.
You had a message?
Oh, crap. You were listening to it and you didn't even hear it? Oh, Walter, what am I going to do with her?
What?
A message. I was talking about the 5G thing again.
Well, I know.
People have got to wake up.
There's no one show today, you're saying?
Huh? What on?
You're talking about the show today, earlier today.
The Shungite show.
Yeah. She got herself all wound up. But that was after she told us that she doesn't get so wound up anymore.
Well, that's about Shungite. I was talking about the death of the planet. That's a different story.
Oh, okay.
They listen to me about Shungite now, but, they're not quite getting the picture here. Yeah, Walt, what happened was Mark Steele was on the show, and he had sent me a video that he had done just driving through the streets of Greatshead, I think it is. God, I can't get this thing in my head because I think it's such an awful place. So he's driving down the street, and he's talking about what he's seeing about the LED lights and the 5G antennas, and he's pointing them out, and the fact that there's no birds, and I automatically did a remote view, and I'm like sitting in the back. Well, I wasn't even sitting in the back seat. I'm like leaning over his shoulder, looking at what he's seeing, and it was so awful. I don't think I've recovered yet. It was just such a death scene. There was no microorganisms in the soil. There was no worms. There was no birds. There was no squirrels or wildlife. And in the houses, even though I could detect there was energy bodies, they were like, I suppose, human and animal bodies that were really out of sync. And it supercharged me to get the message out. This is real. Because, I'm talking about it, but when I was actually there feeling that dead zone, oh, my God, it was awful. Just awful.
Well, but one of the things I'm not, okay. So what you're saying is that it's already up and running, even though nobody has any 5G phones or equipment. It's already up and running. They're already cranking it up to maximum. Is that what you're saying? Because this is, to me, it sounds kind of retarded to activate a system not a single citizen is walking around with a 5G phone, because supposedly that's the story, that this is 5G, it's a new communication standard. But you're describing a death scene. It's like trying to sell phones in the 18th century where there's no electricity. You know, this is makes no sense to me. You're saying that you're witnessing all this stuff, but why would the equipment be functional if nobody has any 5G equipment? No phones, nothing in the houses.
Yeah, that's what I wondered about too. But then I forgot about it until you just mentioned it again. Because I'm going like, okay, so why would they turn them on if there's no 5G equipment, you know? But apparently they've turned them on. I mean, the trees, Walt, were all dead. The barks in these trees were just, you know, opened and breaking and drying out, you know, that look when they're a dead tree from the inside. And all the trees along the road, they were all dead. This and why is it okay? So they've been putting this stuff out in different places, in certain like airports. Airports are using 5G. They're completely wired and
so all the livestock, all the cows, all the goats, all the sheep, they're just lying on the fields, just a field of corpses.
No, I'm talking about 5G in an airport.
Well, no, I'm talking about this particular guy that he's driving around and everything is dead. So. They
well, no,
have.
No. Understand, it's a controlled experiment. It's a small area, all right. So you turn on the 5G, and yes, the worms and the bugs and the microorganisms that can't run are going to die. The squirrels and the rodents and everything, they're going to get out of the way. They're going to feel, God, something's wrong here. I'm getting out of the way. Okay. And they're big enough to be able to probably get away. The problem with the birds is that they're very fragile. You know what happened when they turned a 5G system on in Hague? All the birds fell dead. This black sparrow was up in piles. Dead. Oh, we didn't do anything. Yeah, bullshit.
Hope you know? He says it's Gateshead.
Gateshead. Okay. Thank you. Gateshead.
And she also says it's all over the UK, according to the website Save Us Now.
Yeah, but see, Gateshead was the first one, so the effects are showing in Gateshead faster because I don't know exactly who's turned on and who isn't, but yeah, and it's your question again, Walt. Why, if you don't have any 5G equipment, why are you turning it on? Well, maybe you're trying to kill people. You only told them it was for communications to begin with. It was not.
That's what Fulford is saying in the latest report. So,
yeah, but don't they understand if it's going to kill us, it's going to kill them? What that? This is a WTF type thing.
Well, that's what makes it insane.
See, that's where I'm coming from. This is just insanity. Well, I can't get it through my head because it's just insane.
Well, Mark Steele actually asked one of these people that's in the business and knows the dangers of this. And the guy's response was, well, yeah, probably the old and the weak are going to die, but, you know, the rest of us will be all right.
that's an assurance?
Yeah, really. How did they program that into it?
Well, let's just kill off the weak and the old.
Yeah.
I'll be safe.
Well,
I'm young.
They've, this is what this is like. The one of those latest. They're shooting the latest salvos because they've been trying to exterminate humanity. You know, biologically, energetically. You know, drugs. What they throw it, but like, I'll say it again because I said it in the last show. This is one of the things that Inelia has repeated many times. Is that the reason? All of these things, you know, it is horrible. The tests are horrible, but they cannot implement what they want to implement because the collective has not agreed to be exterminated. You know, nothing can happen to you if there's no contract, if there's no agreement. It's a universal rules of engagement. And the human collective, the human species does not, at the collective level, does not agree to be exterminated. So, you can posture and scream and rant and rave all day long, but nobody's agreeing to it. Otherwise, they would be successful because they've tried with all the other stuff they've tried. You know, they've tried biological extermination, drugs, wars, of course, you know, never-ending wars to, you know, bring down the population, but they keep failing at every turn. And now that most people are getting awake to what's really going on, it's even more impossible than before. That's why that's why I put that expert and excerpt in the Facebook. So now the new target of the efforts against the cabal are these high tech companies that are behind the 5G. So now there is a name. It's not, you know, there is a name to the bad guy. It's not like, oh, this is happening and we don't know where it's coming from or who's doing it. No, no, we know where it's coming from and we know who's doing it. So, okay, aim your cannons at these idiots because they're the ones behind it.
So what did Fulford say? Do you have it right in front of you?
Yeah.
Let's read as long as we're talking about it now.
Okay. You want me to read the whole report or just that one particular
segment? You've read the report. Was it worthwhile reading the whole report?
I think it is.
Okay, then go for it.
Okay. So let me log in here so I can see the entire body of text. Okay, and I'm going to grab this photo because I think some people are going to want to see this photo. Let me go to the radio to the radio site. So I can put that photo on the chat. Okay, radio listen and chat. Okay. So the title of the report is Battle to Free Humanity from Cabal Control Reaching Vital Turning Point. That's dated yesterday, March 18th. The battle to free humanity from a cult of human sacrificing Satan worshippers, in parentheses, Baal, Moloch, etc., is reaching a key turning point as intense battles rage on multiple fronts. In essence, the battle is between the masses, allied with the military of most countries, against a deeply entrenched top-level elite. People who are wondering why no mass arrests have taken place need to understand that we are dealing with a millennia-old control system that does not intend to go quietly into the night. To understand how deep the rabbit hole runs, please take a look at the diagram below. And this is it's a graphic that I've seen on Facebook multiple times where they show the graphics of known name brands and how they are occult symbols. Like the Play Store symbol is a seal of Satan, and Facebook has and they're all just dummies or artistic alterations of existing occult symbols. That's what it is. This chart is not about ancient history, but rather represents a system that still to this day controls most top world rulers. For example, and here comes this photo that I'm going to post on the chat. Okay, here we go. Okay. There we go. Now, there's a photo there, and you'll see six faces. The top three faces are the women in the lower row when they were little girls. So the text starts, for example, last week, Russian intelligence provided us with evidence that not only German Prime Minister Angela Merkel, but also Prime Minister Theresa May and Lithuanian President Dalia Grybauskaitė are all three the biological daughters of Hitler Rothschild and the Kastners. Solomon Rothschild shags Ms. Anna Maria Schicklgruber. Alois Rothschild Hitler then makes love to Clara Pulse Hitler, and out pop out the babies at Braunau and Am Inn, where Pope Benedict from the same bloodline was born, the sources say. As evidence, they provided this photograph, alleged to be the three from their days of leadership training at the Tavistock Mind Control Institute. And I look at the three photos in black and white, and instantly I remember the original series, The Addams Family. The face of Wesley Adam.
I got to tell you, boys and girls out there, that those three pictures of the black and white of these three girls, I mean, they look so similar. There's enough dissimilarity that you feel like, you know, well, maybe not. No, because there'd be the background. So they were all three taken. Oh, my God. So the background, yeah, the background of this picture is the same. So I thought initially, because it's a small picture and I'm like got a big screen, that they were three separate pictures. But the three of them are being taken in the same scene. They're sitting one next to the other, and the freaky thing is their eyes. Oh my God, their eyes are so spooky. But they all look like family. Absolutely look like family. And what Walt is saying, Fulford is saying, that these three people are now the Chancellor of Germany, the head of Britain and Lithuania. And it is freaky. So, and what he's saying, if I heard you right, is that we're calling a Rothschild family because Hitler was actually the, his grandfather. What was it? I don't think it was directly his mother. What was it? Was it him? His mother worked for somebody that was a Rothschild?
Yeah, he was an illegitimate child.
Hitler.
Yeah, Hitler was an illegitimate
child. By Rothschild. One of the Rothschilds, yeah. Because his mother was like a maid or something, worked for the Rothschilds.
Yep.
So that's what that's why you're saying Hitler / Rothschild connection, because Hitler is a Rothschild.
I don't know who the Kastners are that he's quoting here.
Oh, that is
must be another powerful family.
That is
also, here's another one. I'm going to grab this one to show it to the folks on the chat.
It is scary.
Okay, here's another one. This is only two people, Merkel and May.
She always looks scary to me. Her eyes. It's the eyes.
It's the eyes.
These beings. Especially Spence. I look at Spence and I can't look at him because his eyes are scary as hell.
They also note that May, who is trying her hardest to block Brexit, makes the same satanic eye of the pyramid hand sign as Merkel. And you see the women, the way they're holding their hands to the camera as they're talking to the camera. Then in Canada, we have Prime Minister Justin Castro Sinclair, who may have murdered his half-brother, Michel Trudeau, whose body has never been found. Castro Sinclair's mother, Margaret Sinclair, is the daughter of James Sinclair of the bloodline that founded Scottish Rite Freemasonry. Castro Sinclair has revealed his true colors by betraying decades of Canadian foreign policy with blind support for Nazi regimes in the Ukraine and Israel, and by refusing to take the Bank of Canada out of cabal control. And he gives four links to all this guy. It is also well documented that French President Emmanuel Macron is a Rothschild slave. In fact, most so-called war leaders are slaves, as we have written about previously. So who do all these people ultimately report to? The answer is not fake Jews like Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Netanyahu is just a sub-boss who reports to the Black Sun worshippers in Italy and Switzerland. This was proven by his well-documented involvement in the Fukushima mass murder attack against Japan. This attack was directed by former top Jesuit Peter Hans Kolvenbach, who claimed he was Satan right after it happened in a telephone conversation recorded by the NSA. Japanese military intelligence sources confirm. So let me grab this other photo, because Nancy was talking about this last time. So she's going to want to see that. So if we are to liberate humanity, we need to understand exactly who we are dealing with. And that means we have to go down another deep rabbit hole and look at one of the secret ruling families, the Farnese. The images below show their family fortress, the original Pentagon, the Pentagon in Washington, whose creation they masterminded. And a 16th century map showing that way back when they had already made plans for Washington, D.C. to be the center of a world Roman fascist Babylonian government. And then I'm going to post this photo. Nancy was talking about just this thing last show. Okay. Okay, and we'll now describe what that photo is about. That is the stuff that the guy was carrying, the shooter in New Zealand. Okay, at this point, we need to show readers just how relevant all this is to current events. Let us start with the slaughter at the mosque in New Zealand last week. The shooter has a Black Sun emblem on his backpack, and that's the photo of the shooter's backpack. We are not going to go too deeply into the true nature of this attack because it has already been documented elsewhere. Other than to comment, it was a sacrifice to Satan that was intended to invoke power for the cabal. And then he puts a thing from another news agency about the title. It's a segment within the report. It says, Gordon Duff, New Zealand false flag by Zionist Israel with police and Freemason complicity, update 8. Mosque dress rehearsal video found. And it shows a link. It says, intel drop, shooting real, shooter fake, Jewish-born Freemason like Breivik all done, according to the manifesto in the name of Donald Trump. And if one were to read between the lines, the now pseudo-legally designated Jewish-only state of Israel, odd modifications, no flash suppressor, strange talk, none of it. It says something called public intelligence blog. I don't know what this is about. So let's go back to the report. Now let us look at the involvement of the Italian mafia who take orders
Before we do this, I think maybe what you missed was the images, because our listeners can't see it. The images that... One of them looks like it's been very, you know, perfectly painted or somehow into the knapsack itself. And then there are like two dog tags that have...
Black Sun emblem.
Well, it has a Black Sun, but it's got the... See, there's two different images there. One is the cross with a circle, and the other one is the Black Sun one. Well, it's a takeoff on the Black Sun. Those images are, we were talking about them in regards to Linda Moulton Howe, regarding Antarctica and the whistleblowers about Antarctica, and how that symbol was on the back of the door that they opened to go into these huge, huge rooms. That's the connection. That's what I was talking about. This is amazing. Then Fulford shows this picture, and I'm also not very clear. I don't think I know this episode of what's this knapsack doing with somebody that did what?
This is the shooter in New Zealand. Someone went into a mosque, and I don't know how many people he killed.
Oh.
There was a shooter. It just happened this last week.
Right, I heard about that, but I had no details. And so this was, oh my God, that's so freaky.
It was a sacrifice to Satan that was intended to invoke power for the cabal.
That's why he went into a mosque.
And that's why he's wearing now doesn't this make us a little bit, looking at the symbol, I mean, why are they using this symbol in such an act of terror? If that's the same symbol on the inside of the doors to the Antarctica heart.
Well, it just goes to show that the people that were in the Antarctic are not exactly the best, were not exactly nice people. Just because they were extraterrestrials or they came from another world, that doesn't mean that they were good. I mean, there are dark civilizations out there. This man, Sheldon Neidl, talks about them. He talks about the Anchara Alliance. They're as dark as can be. But they're the ones who change polarity, and that's why they are the ones who spoke with the Anunnaki, and the Anunnaki, according to him, the Anunnaki told the heads of the cabal and the planet, okay, we're changing. We're not working for the dark anymore. So you guys better shape up or ship out. And the cabal says, oh no, we've been owning this planet for thousands of years. So we're going to continue owning it. You know, you do whatever you want to do. And that's why this whole thing is happening, because, there's been a change out there, according to Nidal. So I'm just repeating what he said. So just because a civilization is alien doesn't mean they're saints.
Well, you know,
according to who?
I'm sorry, what?
According to who?
Sheldon Nidal, the guy who does the planetary organization thing. He does a report once a week where he channels the Galactic Federation and the Ascended Masters.
Oh, I didn't know about him.
And he's been doing these reports once a week for, I can't forget how long. He's still, the website is called PowerWeb.
You what can is go it? There. And,
let me grab it so I can give you the link. It's
I
easier.
Didn't know if you said OWL or OUR.
PAO, Planetary Activation Organization. Okay, let me see if... here we go. I'm going to grab that link and I'm going to put it on the chat so you can... Okay, there it is. There's the link.
Oh, that's P, the, like a Peter A.
P-A-O O. Web. So it's a planetary activation organization, and there he's got, you know, his books for sale, and you can see the reports, all the latest. And he reports about the stuff that's going on and how the Galactic Federation is involved and what is it that they can do and the stuff that they cannot do. And
well, is this dude a good dude or a bad dude? White hat or black hat?
Well, your posse is standing right there. Can't you just ask them?
I'm getting nothing.
He's a good guy. He's a good guy. He's been with us, Cosmic Reality, for years. He hasn't been sending his posts over to us much lately, but he probably forgot about us, which happens in groups. But no, he's a good guy.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
The posse doesn't like to play in these games, they say.
No, they don't.
I get no answer when I ask them things like that, Walt. You say, oh, ask your posse.
Well,
they won't give me any
answers. They should be able to answer.
They don't want to play.
Well, for example, is it real?
What I'm getting is they don't want to play that stupid game.
No, they don't. What? They don't play that game because they knew I could answer it.
Okay.
There we go.
Is this guy disinformation or is he for real? You know, that's a simple question. You don't have to say any details.
So they're not. They won't answer.
Oh.
All I get is they won't play that stupid game.
Okay, so it's up to us to use our own discernment,
right?
Of if it's real or not,
right? I guess so. Frustrating to me. Because you tell me to ask them, I ask them, they tell me they're not playing the frickin' game, and I don't like the middleman.
He's got his own posse. Just turn it around and say, ask your own posse.
Well, yeah, why didn't you tell me that before?
Okay, so let's continue with the report then.
Okay.
Now, okay. Let us look at the involvement of the Italian mafia, who take orders from the Black Sun worshippers in recent events involving North Korea and U.S. President Donald Trump. Notice that after the summit meeting between Trump and North Korean strongman Kim Jong-un failed, Chinese President Xi Jinping postponed his planned March visit to the U.S. to meet with Trump. Instead, he's flying this week to Italy to meet the real bosses. Related to this was the murder last week of Mafia Gambino family boss Frank Cali. A P2 Freemason source says Cali was killed because the Italian-American Mafia promised success in the meeting between Trump and Kim Jong-un because they had carried out a money laundering operation in favor of North Korea. However, the source continued, the meeting failed because the ideological geopolitics of the power blocks was stronger than the money. As a result, the Gambino family was forced to pay for the huge losses incurred, as they found themselves stuck with piles of worthless North Korean currency, he said. Also connected to this was the raid on the North Korean embassy in Spain that took place just before the Kim-Trump summit. The raid was by North Korean dissidents, in quotes, according to the U.S. press and by the CIA, according to Spanish papers. What is not disputed is that the computers and mobile phones were seized in the raid, and Japanese military intelligence say these contained information about mafia/North Korean money laundering operations. In any case, the P2 Freemason and Block Sun worshipping sources say they are now trying to negotiate the creation of a world federation government with Asian secret societies. Meanwhile, the war of the people against the cabal continues to rage. The most damaging of these attacks was directed against cabal-controlled high-tech companies. Criminal and antitrust charges are now being prepared against Google, Facebook, and many high-tech companies, as has been widely reported. These companies are all going to be broken up, and many of their executives will go to jail, Pentagon sources say. Take a look at this image below to get a hint of who really controls these companies. And he provides a link that I'm just going to copy-paste if anyone wants to look at this thing. Okay, these high-tech companies are, like the rest of the cabal, not going to give up without a fight. Last week, two whistleblowers came forth to warn us they were planning to use 5G technology to maintain their control over, or possibly even murder, most of humanity. One whistleblower, an executive at a major technology company that produces 5G equipment, says it is extremely dangerous technology. Unlike when 3G and 4G were introduced, this source says the top management are pushing hard for 5G implementation without any proper safety testing. In quotes, the 5G wavelength is very similar to that of the human brain so that it can be used for mind control, he said. He also said that while G3 signals hit people like a basketball and 4G like a golf ball, 5G was more like a needle and could cause brain damage. Also, he warned that 5G would require transmission towers every 100 meters and would be extremely intrusive and saturate the environment with dangerous electromagnetic waves. He said no living creature, not even microbes, could survive in his company's 5G testing laboratory. This executive also advised me not to carry my 4G smartphone on my body and to put it in airplane mode when I went to sleep. I took his advice, and I can report I slept longer and deeper as a result. We were also contacted by former South African intelligence officer who said the South African apartheid regime had used electromagnetic carrier frequencies to manipulate the behavior of black Africans. At one point, they were used to make them attack each other, he said. A discussion of some of this can be seen starting around the 45:31 mark on the video link below, and he gives a video link. British intelligence sources say the Anglo-Saxon Five Eyes groups is aware of these dangers, and that is why they are putting the brakes on 5G, and also why they are asking the Chinese to do so as well. In other news, there was a series of fires hitting U.S. oil refineries last week. This was most certainly Venezuela's revenge for the cabal-directed attacks against their country. It is a good bet there will be a lot more revenge attacks on vulnerable U.S. infrastructure. Perhaps someone should remind the U.S. ruling class the old saying, people who live in glass houses should not throw stones. The U.S. intelligence agency also noted the huge blowback against the cabal-controlled Boeing Corporation last week. In quotes, the 346 victims of the Lion Air and Ethiopian Air crashes did not die in vain, the Pentagon sources say. Their death put the bloated, wasteful military-industrial complex under assault when Trump was forced to ground the 737 planes despite Boeing's lobby by its CEO and a corrupt federal aviation authority. The FAA was so owned by Boeing that Trump had to ground the 737 himself with an executive order. And Ethiopia had France examine the flight data and cockpit voice recorders because nobody trusts the U.S. The source continued. The FAA has been severely discredited, and the gold standard of aviation safety is now in the European Union and China, he noted. The Pentagon sources say there are now moves to revoke 737's safety certification and remove Boeing's VHUAP, remote hijack feature that allows Mossad and the CIA to carry out events like 9/11, Lion Air, or Malaysian Air Flight 370/17.
Oh, what are we saying? That what I said back then, you know, in 20, what was it, 10 or something?
Yeah, when you invented that.
When I invented that, now it's real. Wow, cool. Thank you.
You should get some money for that. Hey, yeah. I invented that.
That was my imagining. It's in a book. Yeah. You want to hear the book?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, awesome.
You should grab this part of the report and use it as a footnote in your book when you make new editions.
Yeah. I'll put it up on the – well, you know, you can get the PDF free on cosmicreality.net. Just go to the store, go to categories, and you'll see books by N.L. Hopkins. You get the PDF. All my books are there. Because it's your story. It's my story. I'm not going to make money on it. I had fun writing them. I certainly had fun living them.
Let me finish the last two paragraphs. That's the end.
Sorry, the interruption.
It's great. I wanted to make sure you heard this because you're the first person I heard it from. The other military-industrial complex, stalwart Lockheed, is losing sales of the crappy F-35 to allies like Turkey, Taiwan, and Germany, the source notes. The Pentagon sources added, Russia builds better and cheaper weapons. This was another reason Trump needs to continue to drain the swamp. The Pentagon source also noted that the ending of the Robert Mueller probe, as well as FISA declassification to take down the deep state, the foreign agent registration of the Zionist organization's 9/11 disclosure, and other moves were continuing to make America great again, in quotes. And that's the end of the report.
Wow. Yeah, I wonder what's happening with that 9/11 special grand jury they were supposed to convene. I haven't heard anything, and I keep forgetting to go try to look for it. Huh.
I heard they took that three-letter little twit in Congress off of the PAC committee. PAC... I knew what it was, and now I can't think. I have to Google it.
What little twit?
Oh, that sassy mouthed little frickin' Congress person who's younger than my clothes are, and I can't think of her name.
Is she the one that was anti-Semitic?
She's anti-America, yes.
Oh, okay. They seem to have brought in see, what we're confronting is the new Congress that really is even more absurd than the last one. You know, it's like...
Political Action Committee. Oh, that's what it is.
Oh, okay.
And they took her off of it, finally. Oh, God. Boy, they needed to.
You mean the one with a Spanish name?
The one that wants to do away with cows because they fart, and do away with airplanes and trains and
isn't she like
cars.
A major distraction? I mean, it's not like she's really useful for anything. It's just like major, major distraction.
I think that at times. Well, I think she's just there for to get people worked up, people like me worked up, and to make a distraction for other things. So when she gets really mouthy, I think to myself, what's going on they don't want us looking at? Because she says the stupidest things. But I heard today she was kicked off that committee.
Well, you know, let's just look at these people that want to be in government and control, right? All right, the three of us are, you know, fairly educated, intelligent people, just not in the streets, you know, or not busting down, you know, jail cells and all that sort of thing. We're just kind of average people. How many people out there that you have met in your life would you want to be a politician and in charge of your government? How many of them?
Oh, I've met a few who I wouldn't mind.
Okay, but how many of them? 2, 3?
I'd say like maybe 10.
Oh, well then you shot my theory. Because I seriously, most people that I have a, you know, any kind of communication with, I wouldn't want them in charge of the government.
Oh, you know? Really?
No, because think about what's happening in this government, all right? You got somebody who is got to look at documents and decide whether or not that document is legitimate. But you don't have the time to read that and study that document. So you're basically voting on something based on what somebody else is telling you. And that's what I don't trust, is who's telling you what. And that is the way I think that a lot of these people are actually controlled, is that the people that are saying, well, it says this and this and this in here, and this is why you should vote for it, you know, you don't know what's in these laws.
Well, you know who's telling them?
Who?
The lobbyists who typed the bill up.
Wow! The 5G people. It's safe.
Seriously.
I know that. You see how, you see the fundamental problems that people have up there are because the system itself is fundamentally deranged.
Oh, they are. It goes beyond corrupt. They are just deranged.
For a history major, you just dropped the ball.
How so?
We are going back to the Middle Ages. What were the rules in the Middle Ages? Only the priests were allowed to speak Latin. Nobody was allowed to translate the Bible because only the priests could read and interpret the Bible for the masses. Same old, same old. Same playbook has not changed in centuries.
That's interesting, Walt. I love that. That's good. That's good. Yeah. Off with their heads. Wasn't that what they said when they all came down? Oh, no, that was Alice in Wonderland.
That was the Queen of Hearts.
That was Alice in Wonderland. But we are in the rabbit hole, so, you know, it only makes sense that Alice is down here. I mean, the Queen of Hearts is down here with us. Or Diamonds. I guess she was the Queen of... Was she Queen of Diamonds or Queen of Hearts?
I thought she was Queen of Hearts, but I didn't really watch it or read it that much. I didn't like it, so I never got into it.
I liked the Mad Hatter. And the Cheshire Cat. I thought those were really cool.
Now, he scared me.
The Cheshire Cat?
Yeah, his eyes.
Oh, my goodness.
It's all in the eyes.
Yeah. Oh, you made me think of those spooky girls again.
Yes! Like I was saying, I can't even look at Pence.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever looked at him at his eyes?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
He's scary?
Yes. They're sunk in. They're all black. And they're scary.
Interesting.
He's like one of those black-eyed children that grew up. You've seen that?
Ooh.
No.
Oh.
The YouTube is full of videos. I don't know if some are real or some are fake, but that's like it's one of these suburban legends of people that have encountered and there's always like one or two of them, kids very late at night, completely unsupervised, no grown-up supervision, and they'll knock on a door and ask to come in. And they all have the one thing in common. There's no white to their eyes. It's completely black. And so if you search on YouTube, you'll find, you know, both some people just for the sake of getting viewerships make these dramatic videos, but some appear to be real because it's like someone was, you know, had their phone and they saw something wrong and they pulled it out and they filmed this. But it's going around. I don't know if it's just an urban legend or if it's real, but they talk about these black-eyed kids. And when you said that about maybe he's one of these kids that actually grew up.
Well, you have to invite them in your house. They can't exactly. just come in the door. And if you invite them in the house, nobody knows what happens because nobody hears the story of what happens.
Yeah.
Oh, so, my.
Very spooky. Books have been written about it.
Good grief. Mm-hmm. Oh, that reminds me. I saw a thing on TV that there were these kids that would come up to the car with hoods on their heads. And if you let them in, then they would kill you. Is that the same thing?
All I know is that it's called the Black Eyed Children stuff. Oh. So I don't know.
I don't remember anything about the eyes. Interesting.
Yeah, and so, something else for nightmares, the subjects yeah, really. Of nightmares. Yeah.
Ay, ay, ay. Speaking of that, I have been waking up lately, kind of frequently screaming. I scare myself. I don't know why.
And you haven't asked your group?
No.
They're not there to give you support and guidance?
Well, yeah, because I always say, oh, please come and help me to calm down. I don't understand the dream I just had. But I don't come out and say to them, why did this happen? What happened? I'll have to do that. Next time it happens, I'm going to
Yeah, because they can't answer a question if it hasn't been asked.
Unless you ask it. Right. Yeah. Right. Good thought, Walt. I hope they don't tell me it's none of my damn business.
It was your dream. It better be well. Your destiny.
Yeah, I would think.
So, Walt, we had a guest on Say What this week. And her name is Ani Avedisian.
Yeah, it's an Armenian last name.
Yeah. Well, I still can't get over this. I just think that this is one of the most awesome stories I've ever heard. What is the name of that game? World of Warcraft?
World of Warcraft,
yeah.
Yeah, okay.
You guys, chatters, can you remember what the name of the game was? They'll type it in if they remember.
I think it's World of...
Yeah, it's a simulation game between humans and these guys that have these long tusks coming out from their lower jaw. World of Warcraft. In fact, they even made a movie about it.
Oh.
Now, have you ever gone and played these video games?
I've played similar ones, not this one in particular.
Have you ever played one, Dolly?
No. Huh?
Okay, so Walt, tell us about playing a video game, because I've never played one either.
Well, it depends on the type of game.
Well, okay, just pick one.
Lately, one of the things that I notice about the games is that they've completely shut down on imagination, because when I played video games, I mean, I owned... And I took it to my cousins in Argentina as a gift. I did own a PlayStation 1. Then I owned a PlayStation 2, which I sold off of Craigslist. And when I played those, there were nice, interesting titles out there that were other than what it is. Because now you walk into a store, 90% of the titles is always the same. Just shoot 'em up, shoot, destroy, kill, shoot, destroy, kill, shoot. I mean, there's very little room for any storyline. Because it's just shoot, destroy, kill, and many of them are kind of... even the gamers kind of question the logic. You know, who came up with this thing? For example, there's one game... I'm remembering and I'm laughing. It's called Infamous, where you're playing a character. And this character has been accused of murder, right? So he has to investigate and find out, you know, what was the conspiracy? Why did he end up being accused of murder? But in the process of investigating why he was accused of murder, he ends up killing everybody. So you know, don't even ask for logic in this game. So World of Warcraft is kind of more like a simulation game. Like when remember you had to live through it in your army life when you did war simulations, for example. Remember that? World of Warcraft is similar in that you are not a character unto yourself. You're like God floating in the sky, looking down at the world, and you have to manage all these characters. So you might be playing the human group. So you have to build the town, and you have to get resources to build the town, and then you have to fortify the town, and you have to do all the things that are the things you need to keep a town alive. And then another player will be playing the enemies, and they will come in and attack you. So you have to get your powers, your forces, and your weapons, and everything you have at your command to defend your enclave, you know, from the invading forces. So it's like an army, you know, war. What is it called? War exercises, where you
simulation.
And that's what it is. Okay, so if you survive and you reduce the attacking forces to ashes, you win that round, or if the attacking forces will destroy your town. So that's that type of game. There are other games where your point of view is like you're a person and you're looking out of the character's eyes. So you don't see your body because you are the character. So it's called a first-person view, or it's first-person shooter, because essentially 99% of those games, the reason the game looks that way because you are carrying some kind of weapon and you're defending yourself from monsters or enemies and whatnot. There's a lot of war, traditional war games out there like Killzone and Call of Duty. By now, Call of Duty, they've done so many versions of it. Right now, they're like Call of Duty 35, crazy numbers, where you play a soldier who has to go out on missions and kill and destroy everything that he gets his hands on. And the point of view, and these games let you adjust your point of view. So either you can see the game and all you can see is like, you know, the reticle. When you look through the viewfinder of a weapon, like a sniper's rifle, you have a viewfinder and you see the little reticle in order to aim your weapon.
Yeah, the crossbeam.
You'll either see that on the screen and wherever that is floating on, you know, that's what you're going to hit. Or the other way is the games let you adjust your point of view so you're like a few steps behind your character, so you can actually see your character. And that's a useful thing to see, because sometimes you'll be navigating some risky landscapes and you don't know where you're. Because of your point of view, you can't see where you are, because you actually have to ask your character to look down to see maybe you're about to step off a cliff. So being able to look at your character from behind him or her, you have an idea if he's going to walk off a cliff or if you're walking on solid ground. So these are part of the dynamics, you know, of having a game. And then one of the things about these later generation games, a lot of them are made so that it's not just you playing against the computer. You are on the internet. The games have built-in communications, so you wear a headset with a microphone like you would for the radio, and then you form teams with other players that are out there on the internet, and you go on missions. The majority of the missions are to kill and destroy, and when you're done, you kill and destroy some more. I mean, there are some games like the medieval kind setting, like Skyrim or Acheron's Call, where you are a character living in this kind of medieval world, you know, the same type of buildings and guys walking around in armor and dragons and all that crap, and you make teams. But every time you go on a mission, it's going to be to look for some kind of treasure or to defeat some monster, so that when you defeat the monster, you get a treasure as a gift. And it's always about destroying. I mean, I'm sorry that there used to be a company called Cyan. They won a lot of prizes because way back when computers were still low power, like 386s and 486s, these two brothers came up with this amazing game called Myst, which had these gorgeous, enthralling landscapes, even though they didn't have the computing power to that would show off like today's. I mean, when you look at the graphics on a PS4, it's amazing. It's almost like you're inside a movie. It's so beautiful. But these guys were able to achieve, you know, beautiful graphics with these low-end computers. But there was no killing and destroying. It was like a mystery. Yeah, and you had to solve this big mystery to see, to find out what happened to these characters. So it was very rewarding in the sense to be able to, you know, without many major clues, figure out, you know, how to make this work, how to make that work, how does this affect this. And as you progress, there is a storyline. There is something to be learned. You know, what happened to these characters? So these guys went out of their way, and they really, they wrote a beautiful script for the world of Myst. And the Dani people, and how they had the ability to write these books. And every time they would write a book describing a world, that world would come to be. And they had these special books that were portal books. If you put your hand on the book, your body would disappear here, and it would appear in that other world. That was the power of this civilization. And it was interesting. It kind of reminds me of the Inner Earth civilizations, because that's what they did. They had to escape into the Inner Earth. Because, you know, things happened that they needed to protect their civilization. So, but it's a gorgeous environment. And then that evolved, and they created something called Uru, which was a series of worlds that you could investigate, but it was in real life in the sense that you got to interact with other players that are also in the internet there with you. And you got to explore and find out, you know, how this environment works, how to activate this door, and what is it that you discover inside. And the story, it's like being inside a movie. As you discover things, the story and the script goes on. But that I find interesting. It is intellectually stimulating, you know, entertaining. But those shoot 'em ups that is just shoot and shoot and destroy and shoot, well, that's hypnosis, because by the time you're done, your pulse rate is off the roof, your breathing is very shallow, and you're sweating profusely. You're full of adrenaline because you've been shooting your head off, you know, for 2 or 3 hours, as long as you've been playing.
And so it's the adrenaline rush that in those kind of games that they keep going back for?
That's what I think of. Like, Derek told me, you must remember, because he said he told you. He wanted to show me, but he had disabled a lot of device drivers and the computer, so he couldn't show me. When he bought the laptop that he's using, he said it's a high-end laptop that was initially designed for gaming, and it came with a virtual reality goggles. And he was kind of freaked out that he says that when you would put it on and you would look at the 3D environment that the goggles show you, he says when you look down, what was it that he described? When you look to the margins, or when you look down, you get to see all these symbols that look like Wiccan symbols. And I said to him, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if there's spells inserted in these things, because I see the videos on YouTube of people that are playing with these VR things, and it just boggles the mind that they cannot grasp that whatever you're seeing isn't real. You're wearing this thing on your face. How can you accept that it'd be real? And you see the people screaming and shaking in their chairs, and they fall off their chairs because I don't know what they're looking at in the VR, if they're looking at something scary or if they're looking at a roller coaster. And Derek says, yes. He says, it's terrible. It's very engrossing. For an instant, you totally forget that you're wearing these goggles and you're looking at something that's made up. And I said, well, I wouldn't be surprised if it's spell-driven in order for it to be that enthralling and or convincing. Because when I had my drone, and I did buy the goggles so that I could see the video output of the drone in goggle mode so I could appreciate, you know, the flight of the drone, I didn't think I was flying. I was aware that I'm wearing this bulky, heavy thing on my head. But I don't know what these other things are.
Okay, very interesting. When we come back, I will continue this conversation. Okay, so I've got to decide what we're going to play here. Let's see, what have I got? I got really enthralled in that because I've always felt that if I ever if I ever went and played those games, I'd probably never come back. You know what I'm saying? They seem so fascinating to me. Okay, this is, well, 5 minutes and a half almost.
Thank you.
And welcome back to the Cosmic Reality Radio Show. It's March 19th, 2019. My name's Nancy Hopkins. With me is Walt Silva and Dolly Howard. I almost said Dolly Patton. Oh, my goodness. I think I'll unmute them. I'm laughing here. They can't say anything. Hey, sorry.
You always mute us.
I know. I really get into some of this music.
No, I really get into that one.
And that one in particular, yeah.
I love that one.
Yeah, so, and then all of a sudden I got to be, alive and well and host and produce, and, you know, it's like, bleh.
Yeah.
Okay, so, Dolly, what did you think about what he was describing? You haven't also done it, so what did you think?
It just doesn't interest me at all.
No.
Mm-mm.
You must be too old.
It must be. I just can't get into that kind of thing. I like playing games. I grew up playing games. But they were games like Monopoly, Risk, Chutes and Ladders, and card games. Every kind of card game you can think of, I played. My family was a game-playing family. I did not get into the video type games. They move too fast for me. Maybe that's it. I wouldn't be able to see it because it moves too fast for me.
I just never had an inkling to do the early games, and then when I saw what they were becoming, I knew, boy, if I got into those things, I'd be lost. And the reason that I'm bringing this up, Walter, is because we had this guest on, Annie. Annie. And she told me before, when I was talking to her and then on the show, how she plays that game, World of War. What is it? War what?
Warcraft. World of Warcraft.
Warcraft, yeah. And she plays it, but she limits herself to 4 hours a week. And I thought, well, this is interesting. She said, yes, I have a ministry there. And I said, what? She said, yes, I stay in a tavern, and then the players who are playing the game come to me for what's called whispering. Apparently, you can talk to each other off the game, you know, audio. So you're only talking to one person, like side messaging.
Yeah, that's the way it was in Uru. You talk to one another.
Right.
Because their games have built-in audio. Right. And you decide who you're talking to. So it's either a private conversation or a public conversation.
Well, what happens is that these kids come in and start to talk to her, and she's, you know, is well, what she calls herself in real life is a suburban shaman.
Suburban, yeah.
Suburban shaman. So, and she does have a practice in ministry in the 3D. But she got in there and she's like the first kid that started talking to her, you know, whispering and really getting into some information. She's telling him about, you know, that we're all part of Source, and, you know, giving him a cosmic, shamanistic metaphysics, probably quantum physics explanation for reality. And he says to her, oh, you mean a video game? You know, and all of a sudden she realized that these kids have been trained to operate in a video game, but in some way they understand that they're playing a video game inside a video game. And I just found that whole thing fascinating. So I said to her, I said, so the kids are playing this game that they realize is a game, but they also realize that there's a high probability that the place that they call 3D reality is also a game. And she said, yes, that's what it is. I said, so you started a ministry in a tavern to kind of make them aware of this in their own minds, because the kid was surprised that, oh, it's as simple as it's a video game, you know? And she was surprised that, you know, well, yeah, I guess it is, you know?
Well, she started the thing, her counseling in a tavern in a game.
Right. Right. You know, so.
Yeah.
So anyway, what I said to her, I said, so does this mean that we should all start playing these video games and then interact with these players and say, you know, you're really living in a game that's a game. And did you know that there's a thing called the cabal? You know, that we should go in. I mean, talk about getting into the subconscious level, Walter. You know, how would they do this in a gaming situation? I guess what they would do is they would say, all right, we're going to have our own version of SEAL teams. And these are going to be, you know, highly educated, highly proficient conspiracy crazy people. And they're going to go into these video games and they're going to start talking to people and telling them what's happening. And, you know, pretty soon you're going to get these people following you and you're going to have a video game where everybody's in uproar about all the cabal and all the things. And then you wake them up from the game and you say, hey, it's real. Oh, okay.
Welcome to
life. You know, and it wouldn't take too many hours of playing video games, you know, to be able to be that little whisper that goes through the, you know, what is it? What do they say? You know, there's something in the force, you know, in Star Trek. Ripple. I don't know what they call it.
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about?
I forgot what that's called. Yeah, I forgot. Hey, what's Ani's name in the video game?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't ask
her. It was really interesting. Oh, that interested me.
Did she give the name?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't.
But I forgot what it is.
I didn't even hear it. I don't know where I was. Oh, anyway, she's very fascinating. But that idea of being able to go into those. Because when the first time I really got introduced to these, you know, the potential dangers of these video games was that Cumberland shooting where those kids had continually been on these games of shooting people and then went out and shot people and they didn't seem to be at all distressed, you know. I mean, normally when you hurt somebody like that, you might have a bad reaction to it. Oh, crap, what did I just do? But none of that, no remorse, nothing, you know, like zombies. And what do you call them? Biological AI. So, it seemed like, oh my God, all these kids are playing these video things. They're controlling their minds this way. But over the decades of this happening, nobody could show that a person playing these games became any more violent than somebody else. The games weren't being connected to, you know, a nurturing of violence or antisocial behavior, which seems contrary. But I've never said, I've looked for it. You know, is there somebody that's out there saying that these games are dangerous? And it's never come up. So then she's talking about what's happening in her ministry and who are these people that have been playing these games? And they turn out to be people that are probably more aware than the people that are in the 3D that don't play the games. And I think it's another one of those cabal attempts to control this blown up in their faces. Yeah. Are you here, Walt? Walter.
I muted myself because my mom's asking me questions about the stickers. Sorry.
Oh.
So I don't want our voices to broadcast.
Why isn't she listening to the radio show? So
she's making stickers. She's got better things to do.
So, yeah, I found it absolutely fascinating and still do.
So, Ani's going to be on Say What Now every
second Saturday.
Second Saturday.
But it was as a distraction, okay, you know, but in my case, once I got over the experience of being in this, you know, fake environment, I realized that I wasn't doing anything. I wasn't creating anything. It was keeping me away from the reality of my life. You know, I'd rather spend time in the shop making something new that's going to help me and help others, because then something is being achieved. But in these games, all you're doing is just wasting your time. I mean, you're throwing... Remember the thing about Anastasia, how she said that nature is set up in such a way that man would be free from toil and trouble. Man shouldn't be working 8 hours a day. His thinking should be free. because it's his job. With his, when his thinking is free, then he continues managing creation. So he shouldn't be a machine, you know, bound to a job 8 hours a day. So in this case, okay, you're not bound to a job so many hours a day, but you're bound to something that's fake. And I wish you went into these environments and you came out like in more enlightened or more motivated to do more in your life. It's like a non-chemical drug. You go in here to get away from the drudgery of existing because you're in a shitty home with parents that you can't stand, or you're in a shitty relationship, but you go into these things as a way to escape, because what's the alternative? So if alternative to lives have gone away and all you have is this, that's a really very bad existence. I want my real life to be entertaining and full of, you know, new things. And that's why I love, oh, by the way, your thing is made already. She's cooking in the birthing bed. I won't say what it is because it's a corporate secret between me and Nancy, but.
Oh, so you get on the air and you tease us with it. You little brat.
Well, she teases us with those symbols and she refuses to show it, so I'm not going to say what it is.
Oh, no. The symbol thing is getting crazier and crazier because, okay, so Mark Steele, the guy that's with the Save Us Now organization, also into the 5G, he had a dream about all these symbols. I think that was where the first symbols came. Then he meets a psychic who says, I've got all these symbols. They were the same symbols. I've got a Russian who's given me these symbols. Another organization gave me a symbol. And then today we get these symbols that are on this. I mean, what is it with these symbols things? I think that when you say that, you know, maybe these kids are in there because they're addicted to it, well, maybe that's their training field. Maybe, in fact, that their brains are being rewired so that when they do stop playing the, you know, layer game, the game of 3D, you know, video, that they'll wake up into the real video game and be wired to be able to see it better than we can. And I'm betting that that's what the story's going to say. Because every time they try to control, it's like it blows up in their face. So, we'll see. We'll see here. I'm still not going to play those video games, though. No, my video game is called Cosmic Reality Radio.
I rather enjoy an adventure of making, you know, something constructive, something positive, and it gives you satisfaction to, okay, I'm doing something, even if it helps just one other person, I made something that helps one other person, but this thing, I'm putting my life, my energy, my everything into this, and what am I getting out of it? Well, I just lost 5 hours, because
hey, listen, what if we made a video game about enterology and the Shungite science?
Well, believe it or not, there are. I don't know if it's discontinued. I did see it a number of years ago. You know, when these stores that exist where they sell metaphysical stuff, like you go and they sell candles and incense and crystals.
Like Elysian Fields, yeah.
Okay. I visited one of those stores years ago here in Minneapolis, and they had this like a video game, gorgeous graphics, and it had a special platform, and you put the contacts to your fingers, and I think one on your chest, and what the game was doing, it was measuring like your breath rate and your heart rate, and it was measuring, you know, the impulses from your fingers. And in the game, you were being asked to do certain breathing exercises or certain visualizations, and the game was monitoring your biofeedback. So if you were successful in your breathing or in the meditation that the game is asking you to do, then the environment would change and you would move to another level. So it was actually like a metaphysical training type of game. I haven't seen it again, so I don't know if it's been discontinued, but there must be something like it out there. People that are using the video game platform to do something more constructive, like you said, a training camp, but a positive training camp, because it's teaching you about yourself in order to move higher, as opposed to teaching you weapons so you can destroy more and kill more, which gets old, at least to me.
Okay. Well, we know how this works. We just say we're going to find those because they're there. Somebody's got them there. We're going to find them. And you know, you're going off on a hunt, and about a half an hour later, you'll go, oh, my God, there they are. That's how we built a lot of things that way. Well, it should be there. Let's go look for it.
Yeah, you had to invent the technology to control planes remotely, didn't you?
Oh, my God. No, I didn't do that. But wasn't that interesting? Oh, my goodness. Well, I mean, I'm not tooting my horn because I've been guided to information. I mean, it's like Dolly will attest to this. She has books fall on top of her because they want her to be reading this book next on Dolly Reads for You. You're led to certain information. And all of the many, many, points of going out on a limb and saying, you know, I think this, I think this, I think this. And over the years, others have, proven it. It's accepted that that's what happened. But the one on the 9/11, yes, I explain it, and I explain it in a bigger platform. But it was really a woman by the name of, her last name was Valentine. I can't remember her first name. She was the one that first put it together about the electronics in the planes. And she looked at it from a standpoint of, well, if that was possible, and she never got, as I recollect, she didn't get into the systems on the planes that would access the satellite system, but she looked at the satellites, and she said, if you were going to, if you were going to have a situation where, hold. So the situation was that she looked at it and she said, if you were going to pull off an electronic hijacking of aircraft, you would really have to be able to have the satellites there. And she was the one that was somehow or another able to access the information on the satellites that proved that the maximum saturation of satellites in the New York area was a 15-minute window at exactly the time that the towers were attacked. So there were other people that give you pieces of information. So, yeah, I was one of the – I had a bigger – I wrote a book and stuff, but there were other people that saw it too. So I don't want to take complete credit for figuring that out. You know what I'm saying? And but, no, it's really good that other – you know, that Fulford, the guy that we don't trust, said it. Okay, you guys talk amongst yourselves. I got to stop this machine. It's going beep, 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 beep.
Uh-oh. It's Nancy versus technology.
Oh, I got to share with you all.
Share away.
My doctor changed one of my scripts for medicine for my diabetes. And so I called... No, the pharmacy sent me an email saying it was ready to be picked up. So, and the amount of the script, the dollars, $1,602.43.
Wow, when did you win the lottery?
Yeah, that's more than I make in a month. So I called the pharmacy. I said, now, is that before or after you apply my insurance? She said, that's after. I said, oh my gosh, so it cost even more than that because they had applied insurance to it. So I called the doctor's office, well, the pharmacist.
And if you don't take this, you die?
No. She said, just have him call in a script for the metformin ER, but don't add the word OS something or other. So I called the doctor's office, and I had to leave a message. And this is a good doctor. Within 2 hours, they had called in the script, and it was filled.
And how much?
$3.
Wow. So how did they get the other crazy number?
I don't know. It was a different name, so it probably had different ingredients in it. Because it had a word OS something or else on it. And when he called it in without that part is when it came out $3 for me. When people get old like me and their body starts to fall apart and you start taking different things, it costs a fortune. Unless you just say, oh, well, screw it. And I have tried that. I took myself off all my meds. I didn't do so good.
Did you ever try that herb for the diabetes? The Jimena Silvestre that I told you about?
Oh, I think I forgot about it. Well, my fault. I forgot.
Yeah, because that rebuilds the Isles of Langerhans and the pancreas, which is the part of the pancreas that produces insulin.
Oh,
I learned that from Dr. Pressman. He lives in California.
What's his name again?
His name is Saul Pressman.
Oh, the herb. Yeah.
Let me put it here.
Okay.
That way it'll be easier.
Yes.
I'll just give you the link.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So you haven't scared any ghosts lately?
No.
I was thinking, I mean, how dead that she needs these people to be that she wants to scare them to death?
I forgot about that. Now you're getting me laughing again because it was so funny. I never heard a spirit yell before. Oh my gosh.
Wow. Imagine when you're on the other side, they'll be running for the hills. Oh my God. She's scheduled to arrive any day now. Run.
Oh, well, stop. Make me pee my pants.
Okay, here's the link. I'll put it on your Skype chat. Okay. Where's the symbol? No, that's not it. Where's the symbol for the Skype chat?
I know. It's different, Walt. I'm having a heck of a time figuring it out.
Okay, it's over. It's over on the right hand side, and it looks like a little comment thing that you put on cartoons.
Oh yeah, I found it one time, and then I lost it.
Oh, there it is. Okay,
it's on the. You know, it's like now it comes up on the right side. This is everybody out there. When you get on Skype, when you go on it, take a real look at it because. Where you used to push the button to get the messages to come up down at the bottom left. If you push that, it's going to take a snapshot of you.
Yeah.
And you have to go look at the right where now the little comment thing is on the right. So you can actually have your list of contacts on one side of the open Skype window and your messaging on the right side. But it really confounded me. I'm going, what in the heck?
And like it at all.
Well, you get used to it. But it just trying to find it was a bother.
They just keep messing with Skype, and they aren't doing it any favors.
Exactly. Exactly.
I don't like it.
Well, these are changes implemented by people who write the program, not the people who use the program.
Right.
Which is always the same thing. User... not user-friendly, and mm-hmm. This is the software engineers don't think like people, they think like machines, so.
Yep.
And they've got to keep their job, so they keep messing with it.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy. Okay.
So that's the problem that we had with the medical management program that we used to support in New York. The doctors could not get support for the program unless they paid for the subscription for the up. If they didn't keep up with their payments to get the upgrades, they wouldn't get support with the program when they had an issue. And they needed support for the program because it's an accounting program, meaning your money's tied up in it. But some doctors were so fed up because every time they would get the upgrade discs, for those people out there that remember what discs look like, they hated it because doctors would be used to have a specific feature in the program. They would load the upgrade, the feature's gone. And there's nothing to compare with it. There's nothing to replace it with. Now they have to jump through hoops to get the same data out of the machine. And I totally understand them. You know, you're paying good money and you need the program to support you, not you babysit the program. And here the tools that you're using are now being written off because somebody decided to get creative with your money. So I totally get that thing.
You're going to, oops.
Oops.
So that link has the name of the herb. You don't need to buy it from that. Just you can buy it from another source if you want.
Okay, so
I copied and pasted it in the link because the peoples were asking for it.
Right. Okay, I got a question for you, Walt, because this morning on the Shungite show, Well, Derek was taking care of chat, and I was talking. I didn't let him say very much. And you were kind of bratty to me, Dolly, out there saying.
I was bratty?
Yeah. Is she ever going to answer a question? Is she? And then Mona says, "Hey, Derek, you want to come on my show so you can talk?" I have no. They don't respect me, Walter. I don't know.
She got herself so wound up. Poor Derek, he couldn't even breathe.
That's today. You're saying
yes, yes. Yeah. So we were having a little bit of fun with it.
But the one of the questions that I didn't ask Derek because you're the guy that did it to begin with. People are asking, what's white shungite? So can you kind of answer that for me?
Wait, before he answers.
Oh, what?
Did you see in chat where somebody wrote something to that effect?
What?
They said it's the white in the shungite is its tears. That's what they said in the chat.
You mean in the first show?
In the shungite show, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just had to point that out. Go ahead. I'll be quiet now. I'm done.
Well, can you explain, first off, why? All right. Now, one of the things that shungite was being used for initially was to coat the inside of furnaces, boiler furnaces. Do you remember that? Mm.
I remember you saying that. I never researched that.
Well, I saw it in a book. I wouldn't have made it up because it doesn't make sense to me. Because it's carbon. I mean, like charcoal is carbon. You would have thought it was burning, would burn. But you actually took shungite and put it under fire, and it turned into white shungite. Can we talk about that a little bit?
Sure. All I did was, since it seems that whatever energy type or energy form that you throw shungite at, it does something with it. It doesn't matter if it's chemical energy or magnetic energy or electrical energy, even light energy. The shungite changes it. I wondered, okay, what will happen to the foolery? I know that heat is not enough to destroy a molecule. I mean, that would be far too easy. But when you subject things to heat, you know, whatever the substance is, it will combine with oxygen, especially if it's combustible. And carbon does combine with oxygen, so we'll see what happens. So I have the one of these Mr. Heaters, two of them in the garage for the wintertime. So it gets red hot. And what I did is I put some nuggets – on the Red Hot Grill, and let's see what happens. And I had to keep replacing them or readjusting them because they would pop like popcorn and pieces would fly out. But then eventually I noticed the ones that didn't break or didn't fly out, they became covered. The outer surface, instead of being black, was like rust red. And if you scratch it or cut it in half, the inside was all white. The inside wasn't black anymore. And then when I sent you guys samples for it, I remember you described that it was the feel of the energy was different. And for some inexplicable reason, those pendants made with white shungite, it was mostly men that were attracted to wearing them. I don't know why. And I don't know if there's any testimonial coming back from those people as to why they were drawn to that type of shungite. But you guys are the energy sensitive, so you're the ones who can say, what is it that you're getting from it, or how is it feeling for you?
The reason I'm I was thinking. The reason I'm asking is because somebody had asked me, as you know, what was white shungite all about, and it's like Dolly. She asks the posse something, and they just go silent on you. Sometimes I ask a question, and I get silence. And I'm pretty sure when that happens, I've asked the wrong question. Or I've asked it in the wrong way. And no other question came to mind, so I just let it set. But then these things with the symbols come up. And everybody's like looking at shungite saying, oh, wow, if we put the symbols in shungite, will the shungite intensify the frequency of the symbol? Well, yeah, I guess. Sounds reasonable. And Derek has got a very powerful laser cutter. And he began to try to etch, laser, using the laser to burn imaging into shungite. And what happened was that if you take and you engrave in shungite, you get a mark, but it's a black mark, you know. But if you burn it with a laser, you get that white look on the edging. And then he reminded me that, well, the way that they get the C60 in a lab is to use a laser, and the combustion of the carbon for that fraction of an instant creates all these C60s that they then harvest. So,
well, but they do it in a, they have to use a, the chamber has to be filled with an inert gas. I think it's my understanding.
Yeah, it's not something we're attempting to do, but I'm just saying that you're burning. And when when I started to look at etherically what he was doing, it seemed to me that exactly that same white powder that you got when you cooked the nuggets is happening when he's burning the nuggets with a laser. So I'm looking at this thing, and I go into I call it like a rerun. You know, it's like all of a sudden, it's just like on television, you know, where they back up the story so they can give you another piece of information that you saw but didn't really appreciate. So, you know how they do that? So it's that kind of thing. And all of a sudden, I'm back on the radio show, and we're talking about the film that you get in glasses when you've got shungite water in them. Energized water, shungite energized water. That you'll start to, because I mean, shungite cleans everything. So why am I going to continually use detergent to clean something that's perfectly clean to begin with? Besides which, I got intrigued in how much this powdery white stuff would collect in this stainless steel container that I've got the nuggets in and drink water, and have been drinking water out of a stainless steel container for 5 years, and I keep getting, I'm not sick, not dying, I don't go to a doctor, I don't take drugs. So you said to me, well, and I said, could this be Oregon? And we both agreed that the potential for it being Oregon was you know, something that should be tested. And so I said,
Oregon? Well, no, you mean Ormus.
Ormus. I'm so sorry. Ormus. So the Ormus was supposedly what we could do is take it out into the sun. And if it was true Ormus, the sun would cause it to kind of like disappear, correct?
Yeah, it just flashes. It just flashes and disappears.
So I go out there, and it's bright day, and I put the container out, and nothing happened. Not a thing happened. And I went, oh, maybe this isn't right. And then I got this. It was a visual picture at the same time that I got an audio message. And the visual picture, which I got to talk through to remember the audio, was that this was like frozen Ormus. It was a slightly different field, so it was stable, probably being stabilized by the Shanghai quantum field connection.
That's the thing with the Ormus that's chemically made of. I think I spoke about it in one of the shows. When I researched the Ormus and how they go about making it, I really don't like the process because it's really caustic. They have to work with lye and heat, and you have to be like in a lab environment with gloves and safety goggles. You don't want this stuff, you know, falling on you halfway through the process. It's really, like I said, very caustic. You know, you could get hurt if you do it wrong. And the other thing, so when I was playing with the notion of it, that's why I chose the gold leaf inside the pyramid, because the pyramid does do that. It breaks down, it transforms gold into monatomic gold. But the thing is, Libor sent me that video from Dan Winter, and it was, after I saw the two-part video, I said, okay, now I understand why I did not have to pursue Ormus anymore, because he goes on to explain how the Anunnaki became, that's why they're dead in their evolution. Evolutionarily speaking, as a civilization, they're stuck in the water because they gave up the ability, because the DNA has that ability that, it just like the Phi spiral, you know, the Phi spiral curves into infinity and curves inwards into infinity and curves outward into infinity. And that drives organic evolution, and he goes to explain very well how the DNA does this, but and how you get into those states of like people that have studied Eastern disciplines, you know, when they talk about samadhi and other elevated states of consciousness, it all comes back to or a connection to it. It has to do with the way the DNA works. But these guys, what they did is they went artificial. Instead of letting the DNA do this naturally, they decided to supplement with monatomic elements, specifically monatomic gold. And that's how...
Who's they?
The Anunnaki.
Oh, okay.
The Anunnaki. So that's why to look at things from an evolutionary standpoint, that's where they're at a standstill. I mean, they haven't changed or improved in thousands of years. Can you imagine being thousands of years old and you haven't changed a bit?
Well, that's why I got the Anunnaki. I got the Anunnaki cats in the back room.
So he goes on to explain why it's an evolutionary trap to rely on that stuff, because it takes away the DNA's the power to jump into the future, because that's what it does. It does have the power to move through time, both backwards and forwards. But if you do that, if you become dependent on this monatomic substance to give you that, you know, that mental acuity, that you know, that spiritual high, then you're stuck. You're stuck in a box.
Okay, maybe we better just discuss what we're talking about here. Okay, because you're talking monatomic and you're talking Ormus. Can you explain so that, you know, we're clear?
Yeah, the Ormus thing, for people out there that want to research more, I have a link and you can read everything under the sun about it, because all the people that are working on it, and I will give you that link, because I do have a folder specifically for the Ormus. The first time I heard about the Ormus thing was with this man. His last name is Hudson, and I think he's out there. He had this company called Sunstone. It had the word sun in it. I think it's somewhere in Arizona. And they were working. I don't know why they. I think he's some kind of a land assayer or a geologist or something along those lines. And the paper that it was a long manuscript that I read, and it had to do with this particular type of earth that he had, that he was working on in this area of the desert. And what they were doing is, they were cooking it and cooking it and cooking it. And as they kept reducing this with heat, they ended up with this white powdery substance. And then when they took it out, that's when they were doing their thing, they took it out into the sun. Here we go. Got it. Okay. So I'll put it in the radio chat. Do you need it in the Skype chat?
No, I'll go and get it there later.
Okay. This particular website has a ton of documents regarding the subject of Ormus, the subject of M-state water, how to make a water trap, how to make Ormus using the pyramid, how to make Ormus using chemical means. So this is like a number one stop for people that want to read up about what it is. But in essence, what they're talking about is that all elements, first off, in nature, when you come across any substance, you will not find an element in its pure form, because it isn't in its nature to interact and combine with other elements. So that's why you find molecules. Molecules are made up of elements. For example, you can look at a molecule of water, but there's no such thing as a water element. I know, I'm going to get some feedback here, because, you know, the people who study metaphysics, oh, yeah, you have the fire element and you have the, well, these are metaphysical elements. I'm talking about pure chemistry here. There's no such thing as the atom of water. There is a molecule of water, which is made up of what? For those of us that had high school chemistry, hydrogen and oxygen. You combine those two elements, oxygen is an element and hydrogen is an element, you combine them and you get what? You get a molecule of water. So, because elements seek out energy balance, so that's why they combine. It's part of nature. But when you are able to take an element and manipulate it in such a way that you get its monatomic form, meaning atoms, individual atoms, when they enter into the body, they're so active and their energy level is so high that they go in and they start combining. You know, specifically, they affect your DNA. And that's what they refer to as Ormus. And there are people out there that are making this white gold, and others are making iridium Ormus. And iridium, as you know, it's an element that is only found in meteorites. It doesn't happen naturally on Earth. It has come to Earth from space. And they claim that, oh, the iridium Ormus does this and the gold Ormus does this. But once Dan Winter answered all my questions regarding Ormus, I said, okay, now I get it, why I wasn't supposed to make it and I wasn't supposed to focus on it. But this thing that you say with the shungite, that it produces this white residue, you're getting this residue when it's been in water for a long time?
Yeah, so, because I just keep the three nuggets, and I use medium-sized nuggets just because I don't want to accidentally throw them into sink. And it's shungite water. I mean, it's the purest you can get of water, so I don't need to clean out that container. And I'm sorry, go ahead.
Saffron wants to know, does a shungite stay black on the outside and becomes white on the inside?
Walter, I'm assuming she means when it's cooked.
It was a while back, but I didn't want to interrupt.
Can she specify? Is she asking about the shungite in the water or the shungite?
Safi, can you specify, please? It'll take her a few minutes to hear it.
Shungite is black all the way through. If you see white in shungite, that's not shungite. Unless it's the pyrite.
Depending on the specimens, there are shungite where you see little veins of pyrite.
Of quartz and pyrite, yes. But, I mean, if you see... do you remember those beads that we got that we thought were shungite, but they came from Kakistan? And the reason that we realized suddenly that they were wrong is because if you look through the hole, it was white inside.
Yeah. Very... On the conductivity test, it was a lot of resistance. It wasn't highly conductive like shungite.
No.
When he cooks it.
So, yes, it's white on the outside and white on the inside, correct?
No, it becomes rust red on the outside.
Oh, that's right,
Where the heat has been hitting it, and then if you crack it open, or you mill it, it's white on the inside.
Well, you know, I think of it, and I think in terms of how we know shungite works, and shungite loves energy. So if you're cooking, you're creating a heat energy field that is being fueled by the quantum field. I wonder what that is.
One question I would ask you, since you witnessed this white residue when the shungite is in water, is it a possibility that a shungite is neutralizing anything in the water that shouldn't be there? It precipitates into this neutral substance?
I thought about that, but energetically, I don't get that. Mm. It doesn't, and it wouldn't make sense to me because, you know, when we're talking the toxins in water, what happens is that it hits the energy field of shungite, and when it begins to spin at the atomic level, it can't make it like an electromagnetic field can, so it loses molecular cohesion, and the atoms just go out as atoms. You don't have any molecular structures that would start precipitating of something gunky or not gunky. I don't see that. And I don't feel it energetically. I mean, I like, well, this stuff is really interesting. I'm not sure what it is, but I think it's a friend. But then would he got the same effect with the etching, the laser etching, where the white was starting to show up? I thought, wow, this is... And right away I realized it was the heat and the same thing that you had happen. I'll have to ask him if he's seeing any detection of that red, rusty-looking thing.
Well, the thing is that is the because of the heat, the carbon has no choice but to combine with oxygen. So now you have an element in there. And oxygen has a very high, you know, energy signature. That's why, you know, ozone is such a powerful healing agent. I mean, to this day, I continue to use it in here in the house. So now you have oxygen and fullerenes. That's another very active device.
Yeah, what I love and appreciate about the shungite is how much it's teaching us about the science. You know,
I did the thing. I looked at that article you sent me.
Yes.
Regarding those, they say iron globules.
Right.
And I doused what I picked up out of the suspension.
Right.
And I get no iron at all. I keep asking, you know, these particles that I've gathered here is because of iron presence? No. Is there any iron? No. And it also, it makes sense because I do work with iron powder in the special mix that I developed for the resonator. And when there is even the slightest presence of iron, the reaction is instantaneous. I mean, it goes like a bullet to wherever it detects the field, the magnetic field. This doesn't move like iron powder, not at all. It's slow and steady, and you have to let it precipitate. So it actually has to navigate to the magnetic field. It doesn't behave like iron powder or iron-rich substance.
But you can see why I sent that to you.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. It's a good connection.
Yeah, yeah. Walt and Derek too. Derek is the same kind of person. They just are kind of mad scientists in that they just get ideas in their heads and they start making devices that then teaches them more about the energy and the what's happening. And Dolly has a comment. she messaged me.
I do. When you were doing your Shungite thing this morning, you got to a point where somebody was asking, how do you know? Oh, Derek was saying, and you were talking about, the Shungite can get bigger and it can get smaller. And so it made me think, because somebody was asking, something they asked triggered my mind to say, well, if it gets bigger and it gets smaller, then that means it's a living thing. And that's how they can prove that it's a real Shungite. Because I don't know if fake Shungite is living. That was my comment.
Well, all substances are essentially living. They're just living at a different vibratory state.
Yeah, but you don't see a normal, regular rock get bigger or smaller.
No, that's not true. I have.
You have?
Yeah, yeah. I've seen way back in the, like, when I first got involved with just crystals and minerals, this friend of mine had a crystal that started out about 3 inches tall, and it was about a 1-inch diameter. And in the time that I knew him, this thing had grown like over 1.5 inches. I think it might have been as much as 2 inches outside of any kind of a matrix. And I've seen other stones change drastically. Just their, you know, no, they continue. This concept that minerals are created under pressure and temperature and all of that is true in one storyline, but minerals are capable of getting energy directly from the quantum field and to grow. You know, I mean, I've seen it.
Well, for those people out there that have read the books of Carlos Castaneda, there's a whole book dedicated to non-organic intelligence when they had encounters with mineral intelligences, and it was very tricky because since the minerals see us as very high energetic beings, they want our energy. So in their travels, if they didn't watch out, they could end up being trapped inside one of them. Remember that chapter?
No, I don't even know that book. What? I thought I'd read them all, but that doesn't sound familiar.
When they encountered the Blue Scout, the Red Scout, these were entities from another dimensional realm, and they were trapped inside a mineral.
Maybe we're trapped inside a mineral. And right now, we're going to go watch Oak Island. It's 8 o'clock. Thank you, guys. I so appreciate you being here. And Walt, you want to say good night?
Good night, everybody. Thank you for being with us. I hope we left you with something nice to think about. Thank you, Dolly, and thank you, Nancy.
Oh, thank you, Walt. Dolly?
Love you guys. Bye-bye.
Be safe, everybody. And oops, I screwed up again and forgot to find out where is the out thing. You know, that out thing is always getting away from me. I found it. Bye-bye. Preaching the unknown, unknown, unknown. You have been listening to the Cosmic Reality Radio Show, produced by Cosmic Reality Radio. Thank you for listening. Choose your heart as a